My friend Mark Motzinger, historian and a longtime friend and coach and teacher across Southern Illinois. Mark, it's good to talk to you any day of the week, buddy. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good.
I probably need to issue an apology to Mark. We've been talking about doing this for a while. We wanted to do this for Father's Day, the top 10 places to visit this weekend for Father's Day. And when I asked Mark to do it, I don't think maybe he realized how hard a list it was going to be. So I got it. It's kind of like a Mark Twain, and I've said, no, the painting this fence is really fun. You want to do it? So Mark says, you know, this was a lot harder than I thought. Mark, what criteria did you use on picking these locations?
Well, I tried to pick places that were not real, real long walks. This time of year, long walks through places that the trails are kind of overgrown is kind of tough. And I also tried to find places that are not heavily trafficked. A lot of the places like Bellsmith and Garden of the Gods and Little Grand Canyon are just really being slammed with visitors. That's good and it's bad. And so I tried to pick places that weren't quite like that.
All right. And I want to mention that Mark and I, before we went on the air, we both talked about that depending on who is in charge of the property, had already been issuing a warning saying, please do not block traffic. You cannot park in the road. We will come and tow you out. You cannot block access. We know it's handled. People are driving and parking alongside of roads locations. And Guard of the Gods is a prime location when it comes to mentioning that. And I think Bellsmith Springs, too, because there's not a lot of parking.
Right, and you know, the weather's been pretty nice, and there's a swimming hole down there, and it's just been slammed with visitors lately.
Right. Okay, let's go to number 10, because I like number 10 a lot. I had some friends that were involved building the locations, including the boardwalks down there. This is a good one. Number 10, Mark?
Yeah, Cache River Wetlands Center, but I also added there's several other boardwalk areas down there, and so there's really more than one place you'd want to see. You got the Big Cypress Tree Trail, Section 8 Woods Nature Preserve Boardwalk, and the Heron Pond Preserve Boardwalk, and this is the furthest northern Tupelo Swamp in the United States, and you know, it's a chance to see the kind of thing you expect to see in Louisiana, or you know, in the bayous of Louisiana, or maybe in the wetlands of Mississippi, but you can actually see this here in Illinois.
You know what I find interesting, Mark, is I told you that I've got friends that built this out of your list. This, in many ways, is one of the newer locations we have. I mean, you remember my old buddy Red, right?
Yeah, oh yeah, right.
We used to hunt down there a lot. But, you know, a lot of areas have been donated. This has been grown. These boardwalks have been built. I think there's a visitor center down there somewhere, too, isn't there?
The visitor center, Cache River Wetlands Center, is one of the nicest visitor centers I've ever been in. It's also got a museum, and you literally feel like you're somewhere maybe possibly in the Everglades or somewhere when you're at this visitor center. It is really, really a nice place.
Number 9, I literally grew up there. It's good addition. Yeah, on the list.
Yeah, Dixon Springs State Park and Ghost Dance Canyon Trail are some really nice places, and I spent a lot of my childhood down there as well. My dad used to go there and stay at some of the camps when he was a kid, so of course a lot of times, you know, you take your kids to where you went when you were a kid.
Right.
And one of the added advantages of going to Dixon Springs State Park is that it's right next to the chocolate factory.
You know, I didn't know that. I got to tell you, Mark, I was down there, and guess what? I was buying chocolate, and here comes one of the correction officers from the work camp, and he was buying, for the people who had done a really good job today, he was bought them ice cream, and then ran across back the road. I'm like, man, this is probably like the best carryout ever if you're at the work camp there. And here's another one where you and I spent a lot of time growing up at number 8.
Yes. Good old Jones Lake, and is one of the prettiest lakes in the state, I think. I can actually remember as a child going down there when they were first building it. It was basically built to be a fishing lake, but it is a beautiful lake, and a lot of people have now found out that it's a great place to kayak. Also, there's some good picnic areas, and the Tecumseh statue is at the on the road that goes around the lake.
And don't just drive by that. Stop and read that.
Exactly.
The plaque
statue was actually made by a guy in Makanda.
there's a plaque, and then just to the corner as you turn past it on your left, you'll see another large bit that explains what's going on there with Tecumseh. It's actually very moving if you'll take the time and read and comprehend that.
It is. And what's also neat about it is the fact that that is actually the beginning of what is known as the Crest Trail, which goes along the top of the ridge that you see when you're walking down, you're driving down Route 13 between Harrisburg and Shawneetown.
And you know what's interesting, Mark, when you look at these locations, you can connect some of these so that they make a more than one-stop location. And Glen O' Jones is a perfect example.
And that's where I was kind of, you know, having a little trouble. There are just so many great places in southern Illinois to go see that you can connect a lot of this. You can literally make a weekend road trip or all-day road trip. And, you know, there's a lot of fine restaurants. You go to Glen O' Jones, heck, go eat at the Red Onion while you're down there, you know.
Right, and they've got a guy that cooks at the concession stand by the boat ramp at Glen O' Jones.
They haven't opened that back up
yet. Oh, they know? Haven't? That's too bad.
No.
All right, here's another question for you, because you and I, once upon a time, went deep into a cave. You remember?
Right. Oh, yeah.
All right. Now, that entrance to Cave Hill is pretty much private, and they don't appreciate you coming in. But from the Glen O' Jones access, you can access it from the backside, not far from the Tecumseh statue.
That is exactly right. And as a matter of fact, that's the Crest Trail. The Crest Trail is literally, if you walk past the Tecumseh statue, it then takes you along the ridge that you see from Route 13. The only problem with Cave Hill is a few years ago, the Department of Natural Resources graded all the caves. They put a grade across them.
Uh-oh.
So you can't get in the cave anymore.
No
and
kidding.
The reason is because the white nose bats, and it's some kind of a disease that bats are getting. And
that's
so
right.
They've tried to stop that.
Well, you and I guess we're a little more lucky than we knew. I know I took some people.
Yeah.
I said they'd never been in a cave before. It's been a couple of years back, and I took them in there along with their children, and we had a great day. But I wouldn't have
known. It's just a maze and maze of passages. Yes,
and
it's really a neat place.
But you got to be willing to crawl on your belly.
That's right. To get in it, getting in it is the hardest part.
Yeah, it really truly is. Although there are some other areas back there that will give you, if you're claustrophobic. But like I said, it's a grade over it now. Caven Rock State Park comes in at number 7. I don't know how we could sit here and talk about that location for the rest
of
the show.
And I don't know how I put it number 7, but I didn't know where to put it. It is one of the, you know, the premier places in the state without a doubt. And you can literally start at Caven Rock and then just kind of drive down the Route 46, or you can actually go down what's called Caven Rock Road to another location called Tower Rock, which is the highest point on the Ohio River, from what I understand, and then continue on down to the Rose Hotel and the Elizabethtown Floating Fish Restaurant.
And
so it's kind of a nice little drive along
there. It is. And I tell you, I did this exact same trail that you just talked about. I was staying down in Golconda, and I drove up early in the morning, Caven Rock, and then hit all these and I went to Tower Rock for the first time. Matter of fact, I've sent several photographers here who were unaware of this location going, this is a stunning view. But it is a walk. It's a walk up the hill there.
It's a walk up the hill, and that's one of the interesting things about it is they for some reason they've taken the sign right there at the trail down, but it's actually fairly easy to find. There's a parking spot right there by the river, and there's a Tower Rock campground there,
right?
And it is just a beautiful view, and you can look down and you can see Hurricane Island, and it's really a nice view.
Yeah, and every time I go down there, I meet somebody I know. It's the weirdest thing. Either there's nobody there or I know everybody that's there. It's the weirdest thing, and we're all sharing about things we know. Now, number 6. Wait a second. Before we go Caven Rock, Mark mentioned about a walk. Now, when it comes to Caven Rock, if you park at the highest most point, it's kind of difficult, especially if you've got knees back or you're getting a little old or winded easy. If you come down the area that comes right down in front of the mouth, that's a little harder walk. If you go down a little bit and then come through the camping area, there is a beautiful walkway parallel to the river that takes you there that's a lot easier on you, or if you've got kids or strollers or things you need to negotiate with. It's just generally easier if you go south and walk up as opposed to just walking right down the cuts on the face of that cliff.
That's correct. Yeah,
nope.
Good walk. And you got to be careful. If the river's up, I was down there 2 weeks ago, and the river had come up, and you couldn't get to the walkway, but the river's back down now. So.
Good. Is the van, because they have been vandalizing with paint. Has that been cleaned up? I know they keep trying to do that.
they clean it up and it pops back. And that's one of the other problems we're facing here in Southern Illinois. The more traffic you get, the more vandalism you get. I mean, there's always one or two bad apples that ruin it for everybody.
Number five is another impressive pick, Mark.
Rimrock Trail. Oh, we skipped number six.
Oh, we did. We got to go to number six because that's another one where we grew up. Literally grew up.
Right. I mean, it's just literally right outside of Harrisburg.
Right. Here's the question. Stoneface Trail. The last time I was there, a huge rainstorm had washed out a culvert across the road. I had sent pictures to Senator Dale Fowler. He says we're doing everything that we can to get that fixed. Has it been fixed yet?
It has been fixed.
Good.
It was one of the I'm on the Slim County Tourism Board, and that was one of our big things. And the Shawnee National Forest stepped right in and put this new bridge in, and instead of the culverts, like the metal culverts, they've actually put in the concrete bridge. There's a creek there that doesn't always have water in it, but when it does, it roars.
Yeah,
and ever so often it would take out the culvert. So now we have a nice concrete bridge there, and I have to really give Stoneface some props, because it is a very unique place, and it's probably, as far as stone faces go, I would say it is probably the most realistic looking. And the one up in New Hampshire, the Old Man in the Mountain, it collapsed a few years ago. And Stoneface is just really a unique place. And for years, it was the symbol of Saline County.
It really was. And the banks and everything else. Now, here's the thing about Stoneface. There are two places. They're the one that is so popular. You walk on the main trail, it'll take you right there. There's another secondary trail that takes you along the face of the cliff, and another that goes on top of the cliff where you see the Stoneface.
Right.
Very well traveled. You're going to have to scoot on your butt. Unless you're a billy goat, to get up just a section. It's not hard, it's just you can't walk up it. It's a very steep concrete ramp. You'll see this just after you go through a little hole where there's a big boulder over the path and you walk underneath it. But if you keep going straight along that path, you go up to another section of bluffs that are very rarely visited that are extremely beautiful.
Yes, and that's known as Eagle Mountain is what that's known as. You know, another interesting thing about that area, it was the site of the only known silver mine in Illinois,
just a little bit
below that.
Yeah, I didn't know that. It's got a name. I just thought it was mine. Having a hard day, if I wanted to have, Trent, I'd say, Trent, do me a favor and drive me down there, and I'll walk home, and stay up there for a couple of days where they couldn't track me down. All right, here's somebody asking a question. He says, we go to these locations. Should we be worried about snakes?
Well, this is Southern Illinois. There's going to be snakes. And, there's snakes just about everywhere. I mean, you're liable to see one cross the road in town. It's some of the trails, some of the rocks, they may be out sunning and that type of thing.
Right.
But, just keep your eye open. Probably this time of year, the thing that you're going to worry the most about is poison ivy and ticks.
Yeah, and ticks are a big one. All right, so now to five, because we're going to run out of time if we're not careful. Rimrock
right.
Trail and Pounds Hollow Lake. I have no people who have been at Pounds Hollow the last three weekends. They say it has been like a renaissance. He says, a couple of people said, I have not seen this many people at Pounds Hollow Lake since I was a kid.
Yeah, well, they used to have the concessionaire down there. And there was a concession stand and a place to change clothes, and there was a fee to get in. Well, they no longer have the concession area there, and so the swimming area is open, and it has become kind of the popular place. And you never know what you're going to see there. It's a beautiful lake, but the crowds have kind of been a little hard to handle sometimes. That's why I went ahead and included Lake, simply because it's there. But the Rimrock Trail is a place that a lot of people go to the Garden of the Gods, and a lot of people have been to Rimrock Trail, but you'd be surprised how many people have never been there. And it is one of the most beautiful spots in the state, in my opinion.
All right. These locations are going, okay, you're telling me great places to go. How are you going to get there? Mark sent me a list of map locations, and I placed them on our Facebook page. And these locations are all located on this map, so you can help find them here. So here's one. You've challenged me, Mark. Number four, I don't know anything about it.
This is really one of the more unique places in the state. It's called Piney Creek Ravine, and it contains the largest body of prehistoric rock art in the state. There's anywhere between 150 to 200 different examples of rock art. There's also Dr. Mark Wagner from Southern Illinois University has done a great job with an interpretive sign there that shows some of them. There's also a lot of what we call historic graffiti from, you know, the 1830s to the 1850s that's there too. But it's right on the Jackson and Randolph County line. There is a beautiful, it's a beautiful ravine with little waterfalls and good views. And it's one of the only two locations in the state where they have short-leaf pines where it grows naturally, the Rupine Hills being one of them.
All right, number three, once again, half I know, half I don't. You've put these two together. One is something you and I have talked about on the air past. So share number three, details and why.
Okay, Sand Cave. It's estimated to be the largest sandstone cave in North America. And then I've heard some people say that east of the Mississippi, but regardless, it is a huge sandstone cave. At one time, it was a good place for Cub Scouts to go and have meetings, as you and I know.
Right.
But it is a short walk. It's probably, I don't know, the whole thing there and back is probably about a mile. But if you go on past the cave, it's just some beautiful shelter bluffs and some beautiful rocks and just little waterfalls and all that there. And then when you go back to the main road, you drive on a little further, and it's called Trigg Tower, and it is the last and only remaining observation tower that they built back in the 30s and 40s for watching for fires. And you can literally go up to the top of it now, and it's a great view. And it's just down the road a little ways from Sand Cave.
Pack a lunch.
Exactly.
It's a walk up the top of that, and that's a third of that is gone from its original height.
That's what's crazy about it.
Yeah.
as high as it is, a third of it's gone.
A third of it's gone. It was so high. And, of course, the namesake that we've talked about earlier. Number two, this is one that I'm also unaware of, Mark. You're challenging me again here.
Okay. Well, this is probably one of the most underrated and possibly least visited spots. It is the site of an old observation tower. It's called High Knob. When you go up to High, it's basically you turn right there at Carver's Ridge to get to it. There's the High Knob horse ranch and campground for horses, but you drive on past that up a road. I call it Southern Illinois' version of Pikes Peak. You drive on up to the top of it. There's a parking lot there, and just one of the most beautiful views in the state. And there's a picnic area. But right before you get to the parking spot is a little trail, and you follow that trail, and it's a short hike, maybe three-quarters of a mile, that goes around the bottom of the bluffs that you're standing on top of. And it's just some really neat little slot canyons, little slot caves, and rocks, and just a really neat place, especially take the kids, and they can kind of climb around, go in little caves and that type of thing.
This is the point where I should have a drum roll. Number one, and this is an incredible place. Part of this is because I think Mark and I are both historian nuts, and we have been since we were little boys. And boy, did we look for arrowheads and fossils, right? And the Millstone Bluff is literally ground zero, really, in many respects. So many people have told me about their experiences here. I'm really glad you put this on. And you gave it the number one slot, Mark.
Well, I'm a history guy and an archaeological nut. And to me, this place is just so incredible and so unique. I don't care if it was in any other state, it would be a really, really unique spot. And it's basically a mesa. It's a round hill that kind of looks like something you know, the big hill that you'd see at the Cahokia Mounds, but it's flat on top. It's a natural hill, and there's probably 2 to 3 acres on there, but at one time there was a Mississippian village there that was there for hundreds of years, and there's stone box graves. You can see there's interpretive signs. There's the indentions where their huts and houses once were. You can walk around the trail and see those. There is some really great rock art is a lot of times depending on the atmosphere, and there's some really good rock art up there that is a big bird carved into the rock. And it was also at one time, previous to the Mississippian village, was the site of one of the stone forts that we have in Southern Illinois.
Right. You know, I was with my friend Kirk Carter, Carter and Connolly, the music group. He says he thinks that that bird is a directional, pointing people in the old Indian tribes to the direction that they need to go for the next location, that it was a wayfinder, for lack of a better word.
Well, it's a possibility, and I've got some, there's a lot of different theories on Millstone Bluff, and some people, one of the theories is that it was a monastery-type site.
Ah.
And what a lot of people don't realize is that there's actually three panels. The other two are really hard to find. But there's three panels of rock art there. And the one that you can see that the boardwalk goes to represents sky creatures. The next one represents land creatures. And the furthest west one, and they're in a direct line east to west, represents what would you consider under the earth type creatures, serpents and things like that.
Right.
So it's really, really a unique and kind of a spiritual place.
Good. Millstone Bluff Archaeological Site and Millstone Lake Fossil Beds. All right. You can look at those, search those locations, go to Facebook at the News Radio WJPF page. Mark has been good enough to create a map to be able to these locations. We're out of time. So here's what we're going to do, Mark.
All right.
You get two honorable mentions and I get two honorable mentions, and let's hope they're not the same. You first.
Okay, I'm going to go with the Union County Museum in Cobden. It is it's a good place. It's kind of different than the other places, but they have done a great job. The Thomas brothers were collectors of Indian artifacts, and it's got one of the best collections of Indian artifacts that I have ever seen in a museum in this area. And I think I'm going to go with the next one. It'll probably be Pomona Natural Bridge.
Yeah.
It's a very short walk. Bridge spans about 90 feet. If you haven't seen it, you need to. You need to see it.
All right. I'm going with Iron Furnace.
Okay.
Unknown, hidden back there. Nobody seems to go. It's got incredible history, although, you know, they didn't really make cannonballs for the Civil War there. They say they did, but they didn't. and, you know, what's interesting, you go to the Iron Furnace, there's a great place to camp, to picnic and eat, and then the Iron Furnace, which is fascinating in and of itself, and right across is a great bridge where you can walk down into the creek and see the glass rock from the from using that for the blasting furnace to create the iron. And the other one, you and I, as Boy Scouts, went there when we were kids, Cub Scouts probably, and then Buffalo Rock, sometimes called Weeping Buffalo Rock, in Johnson County. I love that place. It's got the cave and then, of course, the Indian pictograph that's right there next to the cave with the buffalo. And you mentioned the SIU. Was it Wagner, Professor SIU? He tells me there's a lot of other rock art. I have not been able to find it.
It is. There's a star. There's a kind of a sun emblem. You know, there's several things in there. And who knows what was there at one time.
Yeah. And just a really fascinating place. Short walk, beautiful, and cool. In great,
yes,
clear water. Mark Monsinger.
And don't forget, Iron Furnace, great swimming hole.
Great, yeah, it is. It's a good place, and not many people go there. It's so hidden. It's back there and refurbished and fascinating if you're a photographer and all the things you can do there, too. I kept
right.
you so long. Thank you, Mark, for doing this for us. I really
no
enjoyed
problem.
Your list. I thought this was a great, great list, Mark. And clearly from the people who are texting us right now, they are a big fan of what you've done as well, because I've got a number of people who are texting in saying, love this bit on the 10 best places. So,
and go to Southern Illinois Unearthed on Facebook, and I'll put some of this up on there as well.